Hey guys, welcome to the Detour. It's geez, another epic stage, and we had some good battles before getting on the show. If he's not happy that he's having to be taken away from his mates, I'm not happy that I'm having to get up early in the morning. And we've got Sam Bewley, who's joined us live, who's just in the middle to referee today's episode.
The mediator today. I'm the mediator.
But okay, bullshit away. The Vuelta has exploded into action. This whole race, which everyone has said, Vanderpoel's just got nailed down. The first little crack appeared. It wasn't bad, but it was enough. The sharks are circling, and we have got a bike race because tomorrow is, you know it well, Sam, Sierra Nevada, the monster climb. A little crack today. There's a week of really, really hard racing to go, a week and a bit. So anything can happen.
Well, Billy sent me a WhatsApp message I woke up to, and he said, I bet you a whole night at the Irish that Primoz wins the Vuelta. That was the first thing I read. I thought, geez, it must have been big stage. I had a look at the results, and I think you're right, Bills. I'm not taking that bet. I think Primoz is in the box seat.
Yeah, and like what was interesting about today was that Remco wasn't actually that bad. Like he rode quite smart. He rode quite mature. And he lost a bit of time initially when Roglic went in the first few K, but over the last K and a half, he kind of recovered to a point where he wasn't losing any time at all.
Exactly right.
But I think it wasn't so much about the signs weren't so much about Remco being bad. I think that he's maybe coming, he's starting to peter off with his form. He's certainly not getting any better. But I think the signs were more about how good Roglic is getting. And tomorrow's a really big day. Tomorrow's a super hard day. Sierra Nevada, it's a high, high climb. It's going to suit Lopez as well really well. But I think with the 7 days we've got coming up until they get to Madrid and the trajectory that Roglic looks like he's on and the trajectory that Remco looks like he's on, I think at a certain point we're going to see a crossover in the line graph. Is it the line graph?
Now that you spot on, actually, Sammy, I think Remco can actually hang on. If Remco cannot drop any more time tomorrow, I think he wins his bike race. But if that crack, you know, goes and close to even time after tomorrow, then I will put my money on Primoz. But we've got a bike race, that's for sure.
What about the mental cracks, Bewley? Like, you've ridden in support on some big GC campaigns. What's generally the mood like on the bus when you see cracks appearing? Like, I remember the Giro 2016, obviously different issues. Esteban was getting crook near the end. You could hear it in his voice. He was coughing 24/7. And Nibali, on the other hand, was the one that you could see was coming good towards that last week. How do you keep that composure on, particularly on the bus after a stage like that?
I think like we probably had a more similar situation was probably the 2018 Giro with Simon, where the day before he lost the jersey and cracked, he lost 30 or 40 seconds to Dumoulin and Froome on the finish of that stage. And it's not so much about, and it's very similar to what's happening with Remco and what's happening with Quickstep today, is that it's not so much about, is he cracking? It's more about the fact that you look at it and go, it's been so easy for him. It looks like he hasn't even had his chain on his bike the last 10 days or 12 days. And all of a sudden he was in trouble today. So you just start to go, oh, why is he in trouble? Okay, he crashed yesterday, the crash didn't affect him yesterday, but often the day after you feel a bit worse, you feel a bit stiffer. The body starts trying to recover and heal wounds. But it just casts like a little bit of doubt or a little bit of, and often, you know, this is where like a really good sports director comes in and it's important, where you say, we don't panic. We don't need to change anything. We don't need to do anything in desperation. We don't have to change our tactics. We don't have to change the way we're riding. We don't have to change our strategy. Keep a cool head. It's a rest day in 2 days. The main goal is to go into that rest day with the leader's jersey still on your shoulders. And then you adjust from there.
So you do that speech, and then when you walk off the bus and you look at your mates, you're like, "Nah, he's no good."
you go to your roommate, mate. We're on this shit. We're not going to get as much prize money as we thought.
It's going to be great. Look, I've really been impressed with Vanderpoel. not just as the bike rider. He's been up until the little crack today. He's looked like he had this race in the bag, but the actual demeanor. You know, he had this reputation of being, you know, a bit arrogant, and he's been spending so much time with all the media, even putting up with stupid questions from me, even though he told me one of them was no good.
when was that?
we didn't show that.
What did you ask him? Come on.
I asked him about the Whirls, about Wollongong and how I had ridden around it recently in a car. He said, I don't want to. I've got this bike race to worry about. We'll talk about the Whirls later. He gave me the flick.
Was that pre-race or after the race?
No, after the race, just a couple of days ago.
Oh, no, after the race. You get that answer pre-race, but after the race, they're cooked.
He's been giving lots of time for everyone and never walks away. He's been fantastic. I've been impressed. But he is going to win a Tour de France. Evenepoel will win a Tour de France. It might be a couple of years. But I believe he can do that. It comes to the time trial. He will win the Bay time trial in Wollongong by a minute.
It's cool. Interesting. Like, this is another thing that Remco has to deal with now. And like, I can't be sure, but I'd hazard a guess that he doesn't watch the Detour. But
you reckon?
You can't completely insulate yourself from the media. And after a day like today. And the fact that, you know, he's cracked before in the past and other races and things like that. Like, he's going to see that stuff. He's going to hear that stuff. Like, the media is going to start talking now. The other, you know, people are going to start talking. Is Remco cracking? Was today a start of what's to come? And all that stuff also plays on your mind as well. But, I mean, he's a strong character, so like, you'd hope that he puts it aside. And, I mean, he's been so good at the bike race.
In the interview tonight, which will play later, he actually said he doesn't read the media stuff during the race. He doesn't let it affect him. He doesn't go there, doesn't look at all the stuff. He just does not let that affect him. He said, look, yeah, today it was hopefully my bad day. He said, Brimo's had a couple of them already. Yeah. So let's wait and see. He's still a minute 40 up. So I think tomorrow is going to be crucial. If he cracks again and then suddenly it's only seconds in it, I'll agree with you, Bills. Then it'll be definitely Roglic victory. But if he can contain it all, come back,
anyway. And Daly says, sleep affected with crash, skin rash, 2 weeks in, stress levels increasing, any levels critical. How much does that affect you? Like, you know, when they say, Bills, I only took a little bit of skin off. How much does that affect your sleep and things like that?
Well, it doesn't, you know, when you're 2 weeks into a Grand Tour, it affects you because you're so tired already anyway. And if you can't sleep on one side or, you know, you're getting stuck to the sheets and you're waking up every 3 hours because when you roll over, your hips leaving skin behind and things like that, that stuff's annoying. But I think just in general, because you're so tired, you know, whenever you have any sort of injury, you cut your finger making dinner one night, there's a certain amount of energy that has to go into healing that finger. You don't really notice it if you're just doing nothing. But when you're on the limit, when you're fatigued, all that energy levels that you're trying to use to race fast, you know, there's a small percentage of it that going into healing wounds. So it's never helpful, that's for sure.
What do you want to do? Do you want to trim up the pre-start interviews to get into the post-race or just show them all?
Show them all, mate. I do all this work.
That's a stupid question. All right, here's the first part of Iffy's pre-race interviews for Stage 14.
Oh, not too bad. I mean, starting to settle in now. I'm starting to get pretty tired. Last couple of days before the next rest day, and I'm counting them down now, but I'm enjoying every minute of it. And, morale's still high within the team, and looking forward to getting towards the end of it.
So today would be your plan to see the bunch and have a recovery day, or are you going to try and get up the road?
No, absolutely. I'm going to try and save as much energy as possible, and I suppose get through these two more mountainous days over the weekend, and enjoy that rest day on Monday.
Now we're back into your territory, to the mountains.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. No, it's a pretty tough day today, so yeah, I think we'll see how it goes.
What do you think will happen? Do you think a break will get up the road?
I think today, yeah. I haven't called it right this whole race, but I think potentially today there's a lot of flat early on. I'm not sure with tomorrow also coming up. I think it's a good chance for the breakaway, but again, it's also a super tough final, so the breakaway will need a pretty handy advantage to stay away. But yeah, so I think it's we'll see how it starts off, but yeah, I think a breakaway.
Plan A, get in that breakaway?
Yeah, we'll try and get into it. It's a bit of an art form trying to get in the breakaway, but yeah, I think we'll try and slip a few guys into it today and see how it goes. It's out of our control after that, so yeah, we'll see.
As you said, tomorrow being such a monster stage and the GC guys are going to be racing it, today's a big test for you, I think, get up the road and have a crack.
Yeah, exactly. I think I'll be looking to try and get up the road and we'll see how it goes. Yeah, like I said, it's always a bit of a lottery trying to get into these breaks, especially if everyone's trying to get into it. But yeah, I'll definitely be trying to get into it there at the start.
It's really long. Finish today, it's very draggy. But for my own personal sake, I think I'm just going to try and do my best GC ride the next 2 days and then see what the third week brings. I don't want to lose sight of the GC for now. Yeah, I mean, you can lose a lot of minutes, I think, in Sierra Nevada. If you blow on Hazeanes, you're gonna shed a lot. So it'd be really curious to see, because there's two guys in the top 10 at the moment who made it there from breakaways, and I'd be surprised if they can hold on to that place. And then we got lots of young guys. I'm also young, but lots of young guys also in the top 10 who maybe haven't had as much experience in Grand Tours, and maybe in the final week they're going to suffer for it. So I think it's really very open at the moment for that, like, kind of 10 to 5th place.
Everybody's still wondering how far Remco can go. That's kind of a question also within the peloton.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment it looks really good. So you know a little bit today, but I think you'll know more about it on Sunday.
Sierra Nevada tomorrow. You were up there before the Vuelta, weren't you?
Yeah, I was there.
Just talk to us a bit about the experience of living in that. It's the big sort of sports centre up there, is it?
Yeah, I was staying in the car centre. It's okay. It has everything that you need, but I wouldn't say it's like really beautiful. It was nice up there though, because we had some great heat training, great heat adaptation before Dauphiné. And the climbs really are conducive, both to riding easy actually, funnily enough, because on the highway it's not so hard, or really hard like it is at the bottom of the stage for La Volta and Hazeanes. So then you've got quite varied terrain. Plus, at the bottom, it's flat, more or less, so there's quite a lot of sections that you can do time trial work, so that's why it's so popular.
Yeah. What did you do in your spare time up there? Did you get a chance to sort of absorb the surroundings, go for walks, I don't know, discover the wildlife?
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton of ibex up there. I mean, it's full of ibex. So that was quite beautiful, walking around. You know, I mean, it was really not very difficult to find them. You walk up onto the ridges. There wasn't a lot of snow left when we were there. When you're there in March, you can go skiing if you like. But yeah, it is quite a barren, like, windswept terrain up there. So, barring the ibex, there's not a ton else. But the views are stunning, and the sunsets were special to watch every night.
Will it help you tomorrow?
Maybe. I think knowing the first part of the climb on Hazeanes, to know when it's going to stop, is going to help you. Because it feels pretty relentless when you're on it, and yeah, if you know where it's going to finish, it's going to help you a lot.
Morning, Joy. So consensus seems to be today that it's going to be a good breakaway, get up the road. You're probably still too far up on GC to be allowed to go into that. So what's your plan?
Oh yeah, I don't think I'm too dangerous on the GC still, so yeah, I'm all in for the breakaway today and tomorrow, and yeah, we're trying to look for the opportunities there. But yeah, it's a nice final today with the uphill, and also tomorrow it's a pretty epic stage. So yeah, I have a feeling today probably breakaway stays away.
How are you feeling yourself?
Oh, not too bad. Yeah, I think I'm getting a bit better and better as the race goes on, which is a nice sign. But yeah, we'll see. Hopefully today can be up there.
This is a very hot day. How does it work for you?
What's that?
This is a very hot day. How does it work for you?
The heat? Oh, yeah, I don't mind it, mate. Yeah, it's pretty hot where I come from, so yeah, I'm used to it. Ciao.
How are you feeling, mate? How's it all going so far?
I think so far so good. Getting better, I hope. Nah, legs are pretty good. There's a few rough days at the start. Obviously, the last time we spoke was a TT. It was pretty rough for me, but luckily I've been feeling a little bit better on the climbs.
So, of course, with the depleted team, your team being a couple of men down, it puts a lot more weight on your shoulders, especially in the finale.
Yeah, but in the end, it's also it's pretty evenly spread throughout most teams. Everyone's missing one or two or even more than they originally started with. So I don't think it's too different. It's just, it is just what it is. We sit back and hopefully Quickstep can waste their bullets before we have to do it.
Well, you know, general consensus seems to be that Evenepoel, you know, is pretty strong in the lead. But of course, he's never won a Grand Tour, and we know what Roglic can do. So we're expecting a big final week.
Yeah, obviously everything's pretty unknown with Remco. Normally he hasn't made it this far in a Grand Tour, so we have to wait and see. Hopefully he gets worse and Primoz gets better. So. We're not going to work off of hope. We're going to obviously throw everything at them and hopefully we can crack him. But if he keeps riding the way he is, bravo.
It's disappointing to see you not coming to the world.
Yeah, it is what it is. Obviously, I've got my brother's wedding the day before the TT, and it's in Germany, so it'll be a short turnaround, I think. So. But family comes first, mate.
Good luck, mate.
All right, there's the first batch of pre-race interviews. The live comment from Chris B says, morning, lads. Can Iffy ask some out-of-the-box questions? Favourite song or favourite food or pet's name? I'd love to see the rider's reaction. Well, you've got to get your confidence back first. You've tried to get out-of-the-box.
He threw one in there. I said, so he's got his brother's wedding the day before the Worlds, and it's in Greece, I think, so his best man. So
Germany.
Why is that riding? Germany. Oh, well, there you go. Close.
Vazzy J says, no internet connection. How did Collingwood go today? Ooh, touchy subject. They're
driving with
beaten
three,
by the Catters.
Yeah, Cat supporters. But gee, I tell you what, the Pies were good. I think we can come back and beat them for the grand final. Anyway, another story.
Yeah. All right. We've got another quick batch of pre-race interviews to get through. And then we're going to fire up for the big stuff after the finish. So here's part two.
I had 35 race days in about 2 years and almost doubled that now. And I think, yeah, that's just shown that I need the training and the race days in the legs to be able to be competitive. But I think for next year and every other Grand Tour, I'm going to be so much better for it.
A bigger base, basically.
Exactly, mate. A bigger base, more race days, and just some hardness in the legs. But look, I'm loving it and I've enjoyed it.
Just tell us a little bit about Carlos. I know you guys are, I think you're good mates. What kind of character is he in the team?
Oh, mate, I love Carlos. He's an absolute ripper bloke. I think it's quite enjoyable to see when before the tour started. Very humble and quiet, but I think he had a nice bit of confidence about him inside. And you can see it come out each day that he performs well, but yeah, I think he knows he goes all right. And look, he's done a bit of recon over these last two stages, and I think he's quietly confident what he can do. But yeah, on the bus, mate, he's a pleasure to be around. He keeps the morale high, and we all love working for him, but me especially.
What does he need from you, Luke, over the next 2 days? What's he asked for from you, or what the team asked for from you?
Just deliver him to the bottom of the climbs, mate, in the easiest way and safest way possible, and let him go to work. It's, if we can look after him at the bottom and just get him there in the best condition. He can do the rest by himself. None of us can climb as well as what he is, so we've just got to get him there as fresh as possible, stay out of danger, and then let him go to work.
What's the hardest thing for these youngsters like Carlos in their first Grand Tour? What's the hardest thing? Is there anything for them?
Look, I think for someone like Carlos, mate, he's just come in here with no pressure and he's just thrived on it. No one really knew what to expect, but he had a lot of confidence going in, and he's showing that now, and we're on his home roads and his training roads now, and he's just thriving in it, mate. Bit different to me. I'm struggling, and it's my first year, but I think he's really seen the progress over the last couple of years in the World Tour, and now he's at his first Grandy and he's fighting for the podium.
That being said, does the team put together a plan of attack every day for him and the bus?
Yeah, for sure, mate. Look, we're here to win the race, aren't we? Yeah, it's going to be hard for him here, but we're still here to win, and I think we've got a lot of faith. They say there's two different climbs today, but really it's just one climb for 1 hour with a little break in the middle, and same as Sierra tomorrow, mate. If you crack, you can lose massive time. So if we can get Carlos to the bottom and he has good legs, I think anything could happen.
Well said, Luke.
Thank you.
I'm jumping on the end of these two great journos, so that's fine. Excuse me. So we'll be able to do updates morning, and as you know, I'm devastated now with
mate.
Pies just getting rolled. I should have won. Umpires robbed us.
It put a smile on my face, mate. The last 2 weeks have been sad that Carlton couldn't be in the finals, but to see Richmond lose and Collingwood lose has just made my day.
We'll be back next week. But anyway, back to the bike race. Your role today, I mean, you're just talking about with the guys, but to get into the hill a little bit for Carlos?
Yeah, exactly. It's quite technical at the start, but then it's pretty straightforward. So I think we just got to get through the start safely. Look, I've told you what's going to happen every other race, and it's worked out, so we're going to try slip Carapaz in the break. See what he can do, and hopefully he can go win another stage. But then after that, deliver Carlos to the bottom, mate, and let him and Taya do their thing.
Now, it's your first Grand Tour. You were looking a little bit tired a few days ago, but you seem to spark right up. You seem to be coming good.
Say that again, sorry?
You seem to be coming good. You seem, just watched a couple of days ago, you're a bit tired, but you're looking really strong now.
Yeah, I am, mate. It's hopefully slowly working into it. I really did enjoy the few days easier in the peloton. Yesterday I was able to add something to the boys, which was good for my morale, and hopefully more of the same today, mate. Just get on the front and get Carlos to that bottom of the hill safely. But yeah, I'm loving it, and look, I'm just looking forward to being able to do my next one and know what to expect and know how to train leading into it too.
Looking back at your career these last 2 years, how impressed are you with yourself from where you've come, especially considering that Lombardia crash a couple of years ago?
For sure, I'm on a better level nowadays, so that's good. But I think we don't have time to look back. We only have to focus on what is coming and what is coming today and tomorrow and the days after. So we have to keep focused for the next week and a half.
There was all that hype when you won the world so young, and now I think you're living up to that. The Belgian fans put a lot of pressure on you. Have you learned to deal with that?
Yeah, to be honest, I don't really feel any pressure because we're really like kind of hiding from all the... I mean, I'm not looking into the media stuff and all the articles that they write about us and me, so we are really focused with our race and with our performances on the bike.
It's a big weekend. When do you expect the attacks to start today?
Final climb for sure. I think the last 8K are quite hard, so let's say the climbs before will be important for the fatigue in the legs, but then or the cause of fatigue, and then the last climb will be decided by the legs and by the power the guys still got in the legs.
Do you think you have the mental overhead? Because talking to a lot of the other guys, they're not really expecting that they can crack it today.
That's why I always have to be careful, you know, because you never know what happens. It's a three-week race. Yesterday would have been an easy stage, but it was not that easy because of the wind and the stress in the bunch. So I just hope I recovered well. I had a good night of sleep, and I just hope that today the legs will be good, and then that tomorrow I will not, that the legs will still be okay after today's stage.
Come Sunday night, would you be happy with the status quo, or would you wish for a bigger cushion?
I think I will be happy if I can keep the lead like it is now. I don't really need to win a stage. I already got one, so that's already a done deal. But I mean, yeah, now it's important to keep the jersey. And even with like a 10, 15, 20 second time loss, I will not be stressed because that's not so much on finishes like this. But yeah, it's always better to keep the same advantage.
Remco, you said you slept well. Any issues with your hand or your hip from the crash the other day? Nothing?
No gloves, so full confidence in my hands.
That's a good line. No gloves, full confidence in his hands. You get the swing of things with the microphone. If it's like fencing.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's good stuff.
All right, let's take a quick drinks break. When we come back, we've got all the wash up after the finish, so stay tuned.
Look at this bike. You think it's just a bike, right? But it's not. It's a bike. 374 people are looking at this guy, this girl, them, all looking at it. People from here, there, and wherever this is. People that are looking for a bike. Or just a piece of it. Amateurs, semi-amateurs, and pro-amateurs. This guy wants this bike, but with this crank and these bars. This could be the perfect match. But not this one. This girl has a bike to sell, and thousands of people might purchase it. Eyes on Bikes help grow small businesses. His, hers, yours, and the latest data and insights help those businesses keep moving. We are the world's number one bike marketplace, with over 500,000 products and 900 brands, where buyers and sellers are brought together in a place where a bike is never just a bike. Bike Exchange, where the world buys, sells, learns, and rides.
Thanks again to our great mates at Bike Exchange. Get over to bikeexchange.com.au if you need a road bike, e-bike, gravel bike, mountain bike, anything bike related, and you'll get the best price and you'll be supporting your local dealers, Johnny.
Exactly right, mate. Yeah, they're a wonderful company. And as you know, Buells, they look after the best bike team in the world.
Who? Jumbo? No, yeah, you're right. Yeah, very good sponsors.
Any big takeaways from the pre-race interviews, Bills? Anything that jumped out where you're going, oh, that's a good response?
It's funny. I always find it interesting when a GC rider, especially Remco in this instance, he said, oh, even if I lose 15 to 20 seconds, I'll be okay with that. It's like almost like he's like, oh, I don't feel $1 million today. It's a chance, you know?
Mm. Yeah, you're exactly right. You're right there, Bills. Mm. He let the cat out of the bag a little bit there, I think. Yeah.
My best takeaway was when Iffy jumped in with Luke Plapp. He goes, oh, I'll just take over from these rock solid media here, mate. Then he just goes, sorry about that.
That was I did cough up a lung, but anyway.
Straight into your mask. It was all good. All right, here's all the post-race reaction from stage 14.
Definitely, a nice day. But yeah, you all know, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose a bit. But yeah, hopefully we can keep this trend.
Was it you sensed your strength today, or did you sense some weakness in Remco, or a bit of both?
Yeah, I mean, I'm feeling better. We raced, huh?
Well, Chris Harper really set it up for you. You got to be proud of the limited team you have here, and this really puts you back in contention.
I'm still quite far, the racing also still long. The guys really did a great job. Each and every one of them pushed hard, and happy to be a part of the team, and looking forward for the next days.
Do you have any idea what team? I don't know if you saw 48 seconds plus I think 3 seconds of bonus, 51 seconds gained on Remco today. Puts Primoz back in contention.
Yeah, really good day. It's good to see when you're coming into the race that Primoz would probably progressively get better. So yeah, that's starting to show, and just chip away at Remco's lead day by day.
And the pressure's really on your shoulders with the limited team. You set it up well. What was your job today?
Primoz felt good, so he told us to sort of take over and make it hard. Also with the idea to try go for the stage. My role was just to try set a higher tempo on the final climb.
Chris, does this give you even more motivation going into tomorrow?
I don't know if I can be more motivated. I was been super motivated since I knew I was coming to the race. So, still the same. But yeah, of course, it's I think motivating for everyone to see Primoz getting stronger and stronger. But yeah, we believe from the start that he can win this bike race, and that's only getting more and more confirmed.
And Chris, you seem to be getting stronger each day as well. That's one of your strongest performances.
I don't know if I'm getting stronger. Maybe everyone else is just getting slower. But I felt good today from the start. So yeah, I'm glad I can contribute something, and hopefully set up Primoz.
Well done today, very good.
Thanks,
Chris.
Alberto Contador, you're here for Eurosport GCN. What a race we have on our hands.
Yeah, today was an incredible day. Today, I think is the answer of the question that everybody have in the head. Can be possible 3 weeks for Renko or not? And today he has a bad day, but maybe it was only one day. Maybe the problem for him is that tomorrow is a really hard day. So the last climb is perfect for good time in the GC. One guy is in crisis because it's a really long climb, very steep first part, and then tomorrow is a big test for every rider.
What does Roglic need to do to win this race?
Go more fast than Evenepoel. But I think that for him it's very important to do the race hard. For sure the first part tomorrow will be really hard because the people will fight for a stay in the break, for try to take the victory and also for help to the GC riders maybe in the last climb, and do fast in the first climb, and after in the last climb, the first 2 kilometers, also full gas. I think tomorrow we can see who win the Vuelta.
A million-dollar question, last question. Who's going to win this Vuelta?
I think in this, today, with what we saw in the race, is between Evenepoel and Roglic. I think that we are looking that Roglic day by day go better, and Evenepoel today don't feel good. The morale of Roglic now is pretty high, 50-50.
Muchas gracias.
You're welcome.
The legs like he had, that was pretty clear. But I just tried to, like you said, to control the damage a bit. Because it was actually a really hard final. It was much, much harder than I expected those last 3Ks. And the wind was also pretty annoying. It was like a cross tail on the climb, so it was really not easy to follow in the wheel. But then, when he went off, I just I knew I couldn't follow him because it was quite fast. So I just tried to keep up with my own pace. But I think I paced my own a bit too fast in the start while then after that I lost a bit of time in the next kilometer, and then I could control it to like 40-50 seconds. It's my second day after the crash, so maybe I just didn't have the best feeling in my body, and tomorrow another day.
Yeah, you limited it to 48 seconds, and that's a pretty good limit. You limited the damage. Tomorrow it's another serious summit finish. Is there the fear perhaps there's blood in the water and Primoz can sense this?
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's a complete different finish. It's actually the opposite of today, because today we had like a 20K climb starting really, not flat, but low slopes, and then coming into the last 4K with really steep slopes. I was looking at the signs, I saw like 1 kilometer at 15%. I was really surprised. I thought it was not going to be that steep, but it's going to be a different finish tomorrow, but we're going much higher, so we'll see what it brings. But for sure tomorrow there's more benefit to sit in the wheel.
How are you normally in altitude talking about
tomorrow? I don't know. In Swiss it wasn't my it wasn't my best performance on the altitude, but yeah, I also didn't have the shape like I have it now. I just hope this this was my bad day in the Grand Tour. So let's see tomorrow. Don't lose the head, keep the focus, and fight back.
Did today do anything to your confidence?
No.
Still high?
Yeah, why not? I'm still in red, so no problem. I also dropped them already a few times, so there's no problem with that.
In the last kilometer, Remco, you seem to be actually coming a bit better.
Yeah, I was actually just suffering on the steep slopes today. I mean, my legs were getting full of lactate just before the steep slope, so I think that's the point where Roglic attacked. So I just didn't have the legs to follow on the steep slopes, and I just didn't have the legs like I had them last week on the steep slopes. So let's hope tomorrow it goes better.
It's attacked.
So you had a first front row seat to the action there. What was the sense there that Primoz was going to do something? Was Remco a little bit weak? What did you read?
No, he was not weak, but Roglic was strong today. I think you can also say that it's not a shame. I was doing a solid pace, and yeah, he had something in the legs to do even more solid pace. So yeah, I don't know. We had a good day, but yeah, for us it's not a big deal. We don't lose so much time, and we'll see the next days.
I guess it could be said Primoz maybe had a better day today, but then Remco did limit it pretty well. 48 seconds, yes. 3 seconds in bonus there.
Yes.
That's what do you make of this going into tomorrow?
Yeah, I say we have to take tomorrow like every day, and do our best, and just to do our own race, and don't change the strategy now. We are the one in the lead, so we don't have to be afraid.
Up until today, it looked like Remco couldn't be beaten. Do you think the other guys got more motivated out of they see there's a little crack?
Yeah, I don't know. We are in a Grand Tour 3 weeks. It can happen that you have a less moment. It's not the off day, you lose 48 seconds. Yes, maybe a bit less moment, but it's nothing to worry about. Roglic, it's also less days, the last day, so we just keep on going.
Thank you.
In the last kilometer and a half, he actually seemed to be coming back a little bit.
Yes, but if Remco finds his pace, he's really strong. He has a strong head, and like I say, we are the one in the lead, so we have to defend, and he did pretty well.
There you go. There's all the post-race wrap-up. going on that, what's your... doesn't really change your opinions in terms of what you think is going to happen on the GC, Bules?
No, I think... I mean, it's still all to play for. Remco did a good job at limiting his losses today. Like he says, he's dropped them some days. Today was the first day he's been dropped. Yeah, it's still all to play for, but it's definitely an insight into one rider getting stronger, one rider at least having a bad day. You can't afford to have any more of them, especially tomorrow. Tomorrow's a big day, but the whole week next week is bloody hard.
Yeah, well, let's have a look at stage 15. They've been pumping it up since the start of the Vuelta. Wait till we get to Sierra Nevada. Wait till we get. What do you think's going to happen during the stage, Iffy?
Yeah, look, it's a monster. It's only at 2,500 meters, so we're getting up there. Yeah, look, I was impressed with Chris Harper today. Gee, he was good. He put the pressure on. I like the guy. He's just a fantastic guy who just puts it on the line. And he looked pretty happy, didn't he? You know, we're talking to him. He thought, yeah. We're in there. So
you got one major job tomorrow, John, and Lucas Plapp is commenting again. Don't forget that frothy at the top of Sierra tomorrow, Iffy.
I love the way he listens in and then throws them in. It's good, buddy. Plappy, he's a legend.
Kim Dixon says she's excited to see what Chris Harper can do for Simon Yates next year. He's a good addition to the squad, Bules.
Yeah, he's a great addition. He's... you know, the team's been making quite a few new signings for next year. And I must say, he's a very, very good signing. Obviously, being Australian, he's going to fit into the culture the way we like it in this team. And he's going to bring a whole new aspect to the GC squad. It's a team that's split with sprinters and GC guys at the moment in our team. But add him in the mix with guys like Lucas Hamilton, and you know, we're gonna have a good support squad for Simon next year.
Well, when you announce your retirement, it freed up so much cap space, they could get probably two or three decent riders. So
<That's> it.
Interesting how the makeup is. Who's your prediction on the stage? Lads, I'll go with you first, Iffy. Who's gonna win?
Yeah, look, I think it's gonna be a monster stage. I think Primoz will win the stage, but he'll only get a handful of seconds on Remco.
Yep. What do you reckon, Primoz, Bills?
Yeah, I reckon it's a hard stage tomorrow, but Sierra Nevada's a really funny climb. It's a climb that the majority of the peloton know really, really well, and there's a few different ways up it. And the first half of the climb, they do the first climb they do tomorrow, the Cat 1 Monachil, that's a really hard climb. It's not really long, but it's steep in some sections. So if you were Jumbo, you'd be wanting to put a bit of pressure on. I think even Remco admitted in one of his interviews that he was struggling on the steeper parts. So you put some pressure on that climb. You're not going to drop him there. But then the first 3 or 4K of that, the main climb to Sierra Nevada is really, really hard. Small road. It's a sketchy run into the climb. Really narrow, tricky little descent into it. And if you hit it, like Contador said in the interview, if you hit it from the bottom of that climb as hard as you can for 6 or 7 minutes, it's going to do a lot of damage. It's a long way to the finish from there, but that's where you've got to make all the difference, because once you turn back onto the main road halfway up that climb, once you get to about 1600 meters from there to the top of Sierra Nevada, it's not really hard. It's a big highway. It's a more gradual gradient. So all the damage needs to be done at the bottom, which means that Roglic has to go there. It's a long, long way from the finish. But if it's him versus Remco and he's got a gap, you know, it won't be easy to catch him.
Yeah. All right. Well, we better let you get to the festivities there, Johnny. Thanks for the support, guys. YouTube.com/DetourPotty. We'll be back live again at 6:30 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. So tune in. And
Bill. Thanks for coming in. Bills.
Yep.
Yeah. Good man. Good on your Plappy for listening into the Detour. He's a legend, isn't he?
Yeah. All right. See you tomorrow, guys. Cheers.
See you guys.
Yeah.